Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The letter to the Hebrews said, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." The letter to the Hebrews brings up the Sabbath rest. Hebrews says earlier that this rest is to listen to and believe the word of God, specifically the gospel. Many in ancient Israel, especially those who rebelled in the wilderness wanderings after the Passover and who escaped from slavery in Egypt by God's almighty hand, they did not enter the promised land, of which God said, "They shall not enter my rest." They did not believe me or my word, says the Lord. So they rebelled against me time after time after time in the wilderness. They did not believe, ultimately, that I would provide for them in the promised land. So they fell in the wilderness. So strive to enter God's resting place, to rest from your work as God did from his at creation. To have a Sabbath rest is to stop and listen to God's word. For if you do not listen, you will not believe God or his saving promises for you. Luther's hymn on the Ten Commandments says it this way about honoring the Sabbath day: "You shall observe the worship day that peace may fill your home, and pray and put aside the work you do so that God may work in you. Have mercy, Lord, so that God may work in you." As your pastor, I have to say that this third commandment may be the one that we have the most trouble with here in this congregation. Too many of us do not regularly and consistently put aside the work we do so that God may do his holy work in you. Attendance at divine services here at God's house is much too inconsistent. And we all know our own culpability in this. And we all know neighbors and friends and family in and out of this congregation who need to hear the word of God regularly, or more regularly than they do. God help us and God forgive us where we have gone astray and fallen short. After urging you to the Sabbath rest of God, Hebrews tells you why it's so important. Hebrews says something new about God's word. The inspired writer suddenly compares God's word to a surgeon's scalpel, and God is the surgeon. Maybe we should say that this is what Luther's hymn stanza calls the work that God does in you with his word. Here it is again. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Sharper than any surgeon's scalpel is the word that Hebrews uses here. It's not a sword like we think of a soldier wielding a long-bladed weapon. No, this is a short-bladed precision instrument used in the medical arts, even in those ancient days, for cutting open, cutting out disease, healing and curing the patient. The word of God is a living, active thing. Of course. course it is. It's God's breath, God's mouth. Life comes out of it with the Holy Spirit. The Son of God is called by the Bible the Word in the beginning, he who creates by speaking. Then he is called the Word made flesh, who pitched his tent, his human flesh tabernacle among us. This living Word not just cuts open the human body, but cuts open all the way to things we cannot see or feel, to soul and to spirit, to the innermost parts of who you are that you never ever see on your own, like to the marrow in your bones that pumps life into your bones and your blood system. The Word cuts down even to the thoughts and intentions of your heart. He created you. He can therefore access everything about you. That's a pretty deep surgery. Further, Hebrews tells you that the Lord has you on the surgery table when he comes to you with his mighty scalpel. You are naked and exposed. You are depicted as a passive patient on the operating table, unable to do anything when God's work does its work in you. Now we've come full circle to Hebrews talking about entering the Sabbath rest. Surgery is required, and the patient is normally put to sleep and does not participate in his surgery. Surgery is always a work done on the patient by somebody else. What's this disease that needs to be cut out of us, you ask? I hope. You know, it's all that hinders saving faith in the Lord. The surgeon cuts away the work of the devil in our lives that seeks to hinder us ever hearing the saving word of God and any opportunity of being saved eternally. This happens when the devil entices hearers to discard God's word. It would be opposing the preaching of the word, or preventing yourself or others from hearing that preaching, or even coming and sitting in the pew with your mind elsewhere, letting the word of Scripture pass in one ear and out the other. Could even be active persecution and of the preaching of God's word, as was seen in the days of the apostles and is seen in many places around the world and even sometimes here at home in these gray and latter days. The surgeon cuts away the work of the world and our sinful flesh. He cuts away at this deal where we're not going to hear the word regularly, where we're not going to deeply engage in God's word on an ongoing basis, where we don't allow ourselves to be ruled by that word at all cost. This means that when the world frowns upon or disapproves of our Christian faith, we may just give it up all too easily. Or when the cares and riches and pleasures of this world sound their thorny and seductive call to our lustful hearts, we too easily become immersed in them, choked by them, Jesus says. And we make them our new false god, and we fall into sin and unbelief and into great shame and vice. God's word seeks to do its wonderful saving work in you, that you would be healed of these sins that plague you. The word cuts you open and cuts out the disease. The word chastens and heals. Described here is the work of the law and the gospel. God's word of law causes you to be ridden of your sin and repent of it. And his word of gospel, comfort in Jesus Christ, bids you to turn in faith to the Savior who bore your diseases and your infirmities, bore your every sin and transgression against him and his word, who went through the cruel surgery of Good Friday's nailing and piercing, which he allowed to be done on his holy body for your sake. And he is the risen, living surgeon who heals you as his word bids you to turn in faith to him, where he sprinkles you and your body with clean water and holy baptism and makes you his child. This is the surgeon who bids you to turn in faith to him, who sprinkles your heart and your conscience with his blood in his holy supper. All of this so that you would stand holy and righteous with him, before your Father in heaven. That's the work of the surgeon. That's the work of the sower of the seed in Jesus' parable in today's gospel. He does his work in you when you are brought here into the Sabbath rest of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here the Savior sows in you the seed of his saving word so that that miraculous hundredfold harvest of faith and love might blossom and grow in each of you. And here the Savior cuts away the old man and gives you a clean heart and mind and body and conscience, for he has an amazing scalpel. It's two-edged, the law and the gospel. All of this so that when you stand before the eyes of him to whom we must all give an account, and you will stand before him, and we even stand before him now, you are and you will be accounted holy for Jesus' sake. For the sake of Christ your Savior, you are accounted to be cleansed from every stain of sin, healed of every disease of your corrupted nature and of this world. You are righteous in his sight, a beloved child of God, and worthy of eternal life. God grant us to ever hear this good news and take it to heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.